RunAsRadio.com. You're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell and Greg Hughes. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 77 with guest Stephen Choi, recorded Thursday, September 25th, 2008. Run As Radio is produced each week by Pwop Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com.
Yes, you're listening to Run As Radio. I'm your host, Richard Campbell. With me, as always, my co-host, Greg Hughes.
Hey, everybody. Richard, how are you again today?
Things are good, man. It's as much as we could do. I'm just glad we got a bunch of shows to record, and this is going to be a really exciting one.
Yeah, keeping it busy and keeping it really interesting.
And gearing up for Tech Ed. Of course, it's in November. We still have some time to go. If you haven't heard already, .NET Rocks running another sweepstakes contest. So that's at .NETRocks.com. So pop over there, win yourself a free trip to Tech Ed in Barcelona. We'll be there.
Yeah, and you can choose this year or next year. Is that right?
Although I hear next year is not in Barcelona.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
And if you've got any questions, comments, show you'd like to see, you name it, fire us an email, info@runasradio.com. All right, well, let's get right to our guest here. Stephen Choi is a senior premier field engineer with Microsoft Premier Field Engineering. In this role, he has provided support to government agencies and commercial clients. Among the projects he has worked on are desktop deployment and migration, patch management, and group policy. Currently, his work focuses on server virtualization and server health. Before joining Microsoft, Stephen worked for PricewaterhouseCoopers, Lehman Brothers, and TJ Watson Research Center, which has an old branch of IBM, if I remember correctly. And good thing you're not working for Lehman Brothers anymore.
I know.
Hey, Stephen.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
You must have had some friends still over at Lehman.
Yeah, I have a couple of friends, but at least they do have the job for Barclay.
Right. Well, and I've always found talented people invariably land on your feet. You know, if you're good at what you do, somebody wants you.
Yep, that's true.
So I have not heard of the Microsoft Premier Field Engineering. This is not Microsoft Consulting Services.
No, but they all under Microsoft Service.
Okay.
We do more operation support, and we also do some proactive engagement. A little bit different from MCS is they do more short-term, and we do a longer-term engagement stuff.
And it sounds like it's much more IT-oriented, where I think consulting services is very dev-oriented.
We have, most of the time, is IT infrastructure. We also have some development engineer helping people, we call ADC, to helping people to look at their .NET coding and VB script, that kind of stuff.
Oh, I get it. Okay. That's cool. And it must be fun to jump into all these different projects and get a chance to see what's going on.
Yep, you can see different kind of environment, and then you can compare from place to place. It's very exciting and also challenging, too.
Now, we bumped into each other around server performance, because I think it's one of those areas that people really don't know what to do. When you really talk about, well, what does that overloaded server look like? And when I'm on stage and talk about this, I say, it's not like a sign pops out of the machine that says, help!
I'm overloaded.
Yeah. Typical on my engagement, when I come in, people just call me, oh, my application is not running slow, and what should we do? And that's what we come in. We typical on the server. We typical look at the disk, memory, process, CPU, and network.
Right.
And see which one is highly usage, and then we can pinpoint what's the bottleneck. And also, we need to find out the role of the server, because different role of server, different resource will be more heavily used. For example, application server, we definitely look at the process, memory, and CPU time. For mail server, this is also important. We look at this processor and the memory too.
Right.
So processor, memory, CPU. Are there other resources in a server environment that can impact performance?
The network and the disk.
So I/O and I/O and network.
It's really those four things: CPU, memory, disk, and network speed. And for me, as I've always tended towards the database side of things when doing a lot of performance tuning, you're so slave to the disk, and it's the slowest piece of the machine.
The I/O, yeah.
Yep. And also the process too. A lot of time, my clients say it running slow, and I have to run through all the dialogic tool, and then pinpoint that you have too many file handle, you have too many threads.
Right.
If you miscoding your program, then it will, of course, from time to time, then you will suddenly your program blow up and say, "Oh, it doesn't work anymore," or "It's so slow on the server."
And that really gets into the scaling things, where the app worked just fine in test, but as we get it out into the wild, there's so much more demand on it that the thread count gets out of hand.
Yep, definitely.
So when it comes to figuring out performance like this, is it all about Perfmon? Is that the tool?
Oh, we're mainly using the Perfmon, especially if we're talking about Windows 2008. We have an enhanced version of Perfmon. We call it Reliability and Performance Monitor. And sometimes I call it Perfmon on steroid.
Nice.
Because it have a couple enhancements. We put a lot of different tools combined in one single UI launched from the Windows 2008 Performance Monitor. For example, they have a SPA, the Server Performance Advisor 2.0, currently available to download as a standalone package on Windows 2003 server. And that was have been integrated onto Windows 2008, as well as Vista. They're the same.
There's a built right in is this server performance advisor.
Yep. And you know, the server performance advisor, they give you a very comprehensive diagnostic report and very good on checking IIS and IT directory.
Interesting.
And also, they're more on it. They also have, if you use the server performance monitor wizard, that is also incorporated into that tool too. So you can create performance log right inside the tool with predefined template. So it's much easier. You don't have to download individual package. And actually, the performance monitor wizard will not work on Windows 2008.
Oh, okay. So you have to use the ones that are built into 2008.
Yep. And one of the most useful feature is they allow you to scale multiple counter, automatic scale on vertical axis. So you can easily see the graph. Before our PSS engineer actually internally developed a tool to just doing that, scaling all the performance counters so that you can see the trend. And people say a picture worth a thousand words. So
right.
If you can see the graph, you can easily pinpoint the root cause, or you can look up the trend whether you see any memory leak. That's one of the big plus on that window performance on Windows 2008.
That big thing for me with Perfmon is leaving it on for a while, long enough to see those various little events that are sort of tipping points. When I've been fighting scaling websites, it's when did the garbage collection run? And actually catching that in Perfmon was always tricky.
Yep. And also on the new version, they collect 1,000 data points instead of the previous version. They can only collect 100 data points.
But
to display 100 data points so we can the graph will display more accurately.
So I mean, that's just a lot of data to have on a graph. It's got to be tough to read it.
Yep. So, but on the new version, you have the time scale. You can easily move, expand it, or contract it. So it helping you to look at the graph much easier.
Right. Now, I mean, one of the complaints that I've heard routinely around Perfmon is that figuring out what to watch. You know, it's like I feel like Perfmon is my own little internet. Everything I want to find is in there. I just can't find it.
Or you don't know which parts to use, right?
Yeah, that's why we try to give up some threshold for typical counter. For example, memory. You typically look at the pool on page pool by and page pool by, and on CPU, you look at the percentage process time, that kind of stuff.
Right.
So that's one of my paper on the TechNet that I try to give out, summarize some of the counters so that what you look for.
So, I mean, there are docs in TechNet to help you sort of power through this. But I guess this also gets into why Server Performance Advisor is so interesting, is here's a tool that the people building the product have added in. You know, this is what good numbers look like.
Yep. And if you like Server Performance Advisor, I would recommend that take a look at a tool called Performance Analysis of Log, and we call it POW. It's actually written by one of my colleagues, Clint Hoffman, that in VBScript to help analyze performance counter log. And the tool comes with a lot of predefined thresholds.
So this is on CodePlex. It's CodePlex.com /PAL for Performance Analysis of Logs.
Yep, that's the one. And the tool, when you download the tool, they come with all the threshold files that contain most of the Microsoft product, like SQL Server, BizTop, Exchange, Active Directory, and IIS. And all those thresholds have been established during our Microsoft Vital Side workshop. And the tool is good, have a GUI interface that you can modify the threshold file to suit your client environment, because from client, some of the threshold may be too low to give out false positive or too high.
Right.
And at the end, they will create an HTML-based report file with all the graphic chart and tell you some alert when they over the threshold. And the POW can run on XP, Vista, Windows 2003, Windows 2008 on both 32-bit and 64-bit.
Oh, okay.
And one good thing is it's free, and you can even, the source code is licensed as open license, so you can download and modify it and incorporate and make change on it if you want to.
Cool.
Great.
And I even see there's a video here you can watch on how to use it.
Yep.
There's always, it's amazing how many resources there are on TechNet and the other related sites out there that that if you just do a little poking around, you can find an awful lot of great stuff.
Well, I feel like I'm supposed to know all this stuff, and I didn't know about this. I need to run this on my servers.
Yeah. Well, what's amazing is, can you ever really know everything that there is to know? That's what the resources are there for, right? Even Richard.
Dude, I'm trying.
Well, the tool just how you to give you some data, how you to save some time yourself looking at the tons of data from the Perform One, and then from that on, you kind of pinpoint whether those alerts make sense or not.
Yeah, this is great stuff. Very interesting. So, I see this raft of tools and so forth. Maybe we should talk through some of the common issues you run into in field engineering on overloaded servers. What are people doing out there that's causing them grief?
Typical is people misconfig on the boot INI. Typical, a lot of time they have a lot of event 2019, 2020 running out of non-page pool and page pool memory. For example, on Exchange server, you put 3GB switch on it, and what that means, great, you get extra 1 gig memory for the user mode.
Right.
So that they can run much faster, but there's no free lunch. Virtually what you do is you take away 1 gig for kernel, so everything like system PTE, page, non-page pool, desktop heap was squeezed into 1 gig memory, and constant creates a lot of problems.
I've run into exactly that same problem with SQL Server. It sounded like a good idea to use the 3 gig switch, but you strangle the OS so much, you actually end up slower.
Yep. And sometimes people think with 3GB, you put more memory will help, but actually it will hurt, because when you squeeze the kernel space less, you put more memory on it, it will have overhead on it. So actually the system becomes more unstable than before.
And of course, the correct answer to this is get to 64-bit and get there soon.
Yep, because with 64-bit, the kernel, all those VGB, you don't even need VGB by default. You can have, even running on 32-bit application, you can have 4 gig memory for yourself. And also for the pool page memory or non-page pool memory in the range of talking about gig memory. So you shouldn't have any run into any problem on it. And also, typical people, the worst combination is beside 3GB. They think, oh, I have more memory, so maybe more than maybe 16, 32 gig. Why don't I put 3GB and PAE on it? And PAE is, we call it physical address extension. It's right. similar to old-time expanded memory doing the mapping. But with more memory on it, you have actually you squeeze in more mapping on the kernel space, and then typical you will get 2019, 2020.
Yeah, you really don't need to play with any of that once you're over the 64-bit realm.
No.
Leave it alone.
You don't need that. So that's why you should move to 64-bit platform. And also one common mistake is when people doing server consolidation. So they think, okay, I have a couple old server have 4 gig memory. Okay, why don't we combine 4 of them into one server with 32 gig memory, and it should be fine. But they forgot about the kernel space because
right.
it doesn't matter how much memory, physical memory you have, you still limit on 32-bit architecture, the 2 gig memory.
Sure. Server consolidation is an interesting angle on this, and I've often found that mixing apps in one consolidated server, having I would never put Exchange and SQL Server on the same box. It just gives me chills.
Yeah, no, definitely not.
That it's you're better off keeping it isolated. But I guess virtualization is how we address this. That now we have big boxes running isolated environments for each of our core apps.
Yep, and that's why we have a Windows 2008. You can run it on Hyper-V to do server consolidation.
Are you happy with Hyper-V? You think that's the way?
Yeah, I mean, it's not perfect right now, but I think it's very good compared to market competitor. That especially if you install your host as a core Windows 2008 core, you don't have all those extra GUI, and you will make your one much quicker and less use much less memory on it. And also, if you want to monitor a core, the only thing is because you can't run window reliability and monitor because they don't have a GUI interface on it. So
right.
what you have to do is you run it remotely from a full version of Windows 2008, or they have all the logman. You can still run logman locally on that box.
Right.
And then after you collect the log, you can bring over to a full version Windows 2008 to analyzing it.
And that is something I really wanted to dig into is how do the performance metrics change once we're in a virtualized environment? I mean, don't some of those numbers become questionable? How do I really understand processor load once I'm in a virtual machine?
Shared environment,
Most of the performance techniques or counter are similar, except a couple of things that we add on the Hyper-V. We have the Hyper-V logical processor
right.
that will compare the overall resource utilization on all the guest machine as well as the host machine, and also the network, because on the Hyper-V we create a virtual network. So we also have another counter called Hyper-V the virtual network to measure actually the network performance on the virtual network. So principally, all the measurement techniques are the same. Something like you need to create a baseline. But without baseline, you don't know what you're going to compare.
Right.
And also, the workload on the server also depends on your business cycle. So typically, you should at least run your baseline for a week so you know all the up and down on the workload on the server throughout the week. And then after that, you have something to base on it. And the other, and also most of the threshold are the same, except if you're talking about Windows 2008, is the memory. Because on Windows 2008, we make change on the kernel space. It used to be piece version when you boot up all the PTE pool, long page pool have been set when the server boot up. But
right.
on Windows 2008, we have a dynamic memory manager that they would dynamic allocate and for those components. So hopefully with that, we will eliminate a lot of the 2019-2020 running out of system page and on-page pool memory. And on the other, and also the on 64-bit, those are completely different scale, you're talking about the number, you can have much number on those system resource on it.
So the for most part, these measurements come up the same way. I guess the challenge then, does it still make sense to monitor the host machine on the virtualization side, or is it all about the guests?
You need to monitor the host, because the host, if the host is low, then your client will be definitely slow. So
right.
you should monitor the host and also monitor your individual virtual machine, just as physical machine. But then we add a couple Hyper-V related content, just make sure that for doing the one-to-one mapping between physical and virtual, that didn't get missing out some
right.
of the performance measure. So we have something, all the measure are the similar except CPU, and we get a couple and the network.
Well, if it seems to me that processor is not that big a problem when we're dealing with multiple virtuals, because we have lots of processors and memory is pretty much fixed in its allocation, so that's not that big a deal. But the real shared resources, the disk and the networking,
yep.
especially, I think networking is the one that's going to bite us, where we got four or five VMs running in this machine, and in essence they're all going across the same NIC,
same interface.
So picking up the fact that you've saturated that NIC, any one of those guests is not nowhere near saturating the NIC, but the combination is actually now hurting the NIC.
True. So we recommend you have more than one NIC,
right.
physical NIC on the host, so that you won't get into the network bottleneck. And also, hopefully, you use your switch so that you can balance your network traffic.
Well, I am seeing now more big virtual machines, big machines that are running lots of virtual servers, where they are putting a dedicated NIC in almost per VM. And that seems to be a strength of Hyper-V, that Hyper-V actually allows a virtual machine to own a NIC.
Yeah.
Or dropping a fiber network connection in that's going to do super high bandwidth, that you can actually split up a little bit if you need 100 or gigabit on each line.
True. But I just want to mention, because the purpose of using Hyper-V or virtualization is you want to do some server consolidation.
Right.
I went to a client sometime. They want a couple SQL server on virtual machine, and I told them, and also the SQL server is heavily used, so I say, it doesn't make sense why you want to put it on virtualized. They say, oh, that's company direction. I say, if your server is heavily used and you have tons, thousands of transactions and people are hitting your server, it's better off as a standalone physical box.
Right.
You don't gain much, because you reserve the CPU and reserve the NIC, then virtually it's better off getting a physical box by itself.
Sure. I mean, as soon as you're really straining the resources of the machine, it ought to be bare. You can't just virtualize. Well, we did a show on this, didn't we, Greg? Alan
Hurt
talked about virtualizing SQL Server. And I think I started off with, what, are you crazy?
Exactly. And in most and in many cases, you are crazy, I suppose. But there are cases where you can do it, especially in, like we said back then, test environments or integration environments and what have you.
But I'd be interested in your opinion on this as well, Steve. And I also talked about web farms. As soon as I have multiple web servers,
right.
why would I virtualize those?
Yep. Well, if your web farm have a lot of traffic, I think it's better off using physical.
Yeah, be bare.
Otherwise, you just have caused more trouble.
It just makes it harder to diagnose the problem. You're just adding this extra layer of complexity in it. And for me, by definition, a web farm means bare. It's busy enough that I needed more than one web server. So why would I virtualize that? Not that I'm down on virtualization. I'm virtualizing my brains out, but it's very interesting to hit the line on what should I virtualize, what shouldn't I?
Yep.
You know, there may be situations where if you have, you know, multiple web servers that are running in virtual machines, but that's across multiple physical machines, and you're basically, you know, you're trying to build your redundancy out that way, and that's the reason for it, as opposed to scale. I've seen that done before. I'm trying to think of other situations where you might think about virtualizing a web farm.
I don't know one, and I hope I'm wrong. Like, maybe there's a listener out there who's like, I know why you virtualize a web farm. I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, let us know. Just drop an email to info@runasradio.com. I'd be interested even just to find out what people are virtualizing and what their performance characteristics are on that.
For sure. So, Steve, what kind of performance changes did we get moving from Server 2003 to 2008? Is it everything faster? Is it, you know, did stuff really change a lot? You mentioned the fact that 2008 manages memory different, but are there other big things changes, you've seen?
Yeah. Other than that, all the performance thresholds are similar, are the same. We still, unless you move to 64-bit, if you are still on 32-bit, it's the same as previous version.
Right.
But we have the only thing we add is we have the new tool reliability and performance monitor that will help you to monitor the server. And also, I forgot to mention, the tool is called Reliability Performance Monitor. So they have a module called Reliability Monitor that they have a scale called Stability Index. So if the scale is from 1 to 10, 10 is the most stable one.
Right.
And when the server, it was measured from throughout the life of the computer. So when your machine was built, you will get 10. And then from that on, you're going to go down the hill. Hopefully not too much.
But it's a good idea. There's just that long-term viewpoint. Lots of people, certainly on the desktop side, say, yeah, my machine rots over time. You know, I've often talked about it like fatty, you know, software is fatty food, and at some point your computer needs an angioplasty.
Right.
Yeah, and also because they collect the data over a lifetime, and also they calculate the index based on whether how often your server crash, any service hang, and also they including all the installation of any new application or any OS update. So we say, my server was running fine last week. But it suddenly doesn't work today. So
right.
We can go back and see, what have been done.
It helps you pinpoint when that happened.
Yep.
I couldn't resist. While we're sitting here talking, I just popped open my reliability monitor on my big 64-bit Vista laptop.
What's your scale?
It's going up. I'm getting more reliable.
Good.
I think it's diluted.
The longer you pay attention to it, the more reliable it gets.
Yeah, something like that.
It's like a plant if you talk to it.
You know, it's interesting to think that, we are talking about Vista here. So I suspect that I'll find the reliability went up when SP1 went on, and big driver patches too. You know, early drive, that's the problem with being an early adopter here is we had bad drivers. And as those drivers got better, reliability actually goes up. But I think it's a great tool in terms of really understanding the stability of a machine over time to say, hey, you know, there was clearly a breaking point here.
That's a good resource.
Yep.
Steven, I'm curious for IT people out there who have not yet taken the deep dive into performance tuning or even performance monitoring and don't even really know where to start, maybe you have a top three or top couple of resources that you recommend people go to get a start on doing this?
There's a lot of information on the TechNet, both TechNet Magazine and TechNet Online. They have a lot of articles talking about. I recently wrote an article on taking your service pause that tell you what content that you're supposed to look at. It's not intended to be detailed. It's just rewritten from the point of IT as admin. So when they have someone calling them, their problem, this application, those are the content that they should check.
Gotcha.
And also, if anyone interested on learning more technique on server performance, Microsoft PMN support offer a workshop called Vital Sign Workshop.
Really?
2-day workshop. Yep. 2-day workshop. They go through all the technique, how to tune it, and make you to much easier to look at the graph. They go through all the major components, go deep dive on this memory, process, CPU, and network, what should look for. And they also talk more detail on the Windows 2008 and SPAR. We cover everything so that just in case you haven't moved on to Windows 2008, you still have the tool to tackle the issue.
Well, that's great.
Where do these workshops take place?
Most of the workshops take place at client site. If you're a Microsoft client, try to talk to the TAM, technical account manager. They can arrange it either on site or we offer the class on major training center like Charlotte, Texas, and
gotcha.
Those are, or sometimes on Redmond.
Right. So it's available to premier support customers, but is also available at again, your major training centers for people maybe that aren't on a premier support contract.
They, as long as they have premier support contract, they can go over there to when they offer the class, they can take it, or they can even come to the site to customize to make whether any particular information that you want to talk more, or you want to remove some of the information that you some of the technique that you already know about.
Great. And, if you don't have also, a technical account manager, is there a web resource or a place where you can go to find out where those classes are being offered?
I can check it for you. I mean, if anyone interested, they can send me an email at schoy@microsoft.com. I can give them more information. And
sure.
Also, my coworker, Ben Christenberg, is working on his paper, a very detailed paper on a performance monitor in Windows 2008 best practice. Is I don't know how many pages he's have been working on it. Hopefully, he's going to publish it before the end of this year, that they will go through what's the difference between 2008 and 2003, and what at least what are the tools that they can use to monitor Windows 2008.
I hope he publish it as a book. You know, that's one of those books I've always wanted to have, is what are all these points of measure? What do they mean?
Right.
If I'm looking for this problem, here's the things I should be watching, and so on.
Yep. And he also go through detail on different server role, on different server role, what counter that you should look pay more attention.
Right.
I mean, just for example, web server, you should look at more cache, processor, a network, and this compared to domain controller. It's because of different nodes, so you should pay more attention on different counters. So when you have someone telling you, oh, the server is not working, oh, it's DC, so what should I put on my performance counter? Of at least
sure.
Memory, processor, this a network. And you don't put cache because DC doesn't do much on
right.
cache. So.
Well, the number of times I've just gone in, grabbed a bunch of measurements off of Perfmon, and they were all zero. Nothing was happening there. Like
yeah.
You're looking in the wrong place. The machine is busy,
yep.
but that's not where it's busy.
How do you know if you're looking in the right place? That's the book that we need, right? I've always thought, you know, Mark Rusinovich is, case of presentations and articles that he writes where, you know, there's usually on a client operating system, there's something specific and he uses, you know, Perfmon and the sysinternals tools and different stuff to chase it down and kind of drill down. So something like that to help on the, you know, the server side would be terrific.
Talking about system internal, if the problem happened right now, I think that the quick thing is you want to bring up the task manager. So I want to point out that on the new Windows 2008, the task manager, they have one additional tab. It's called service.
Right.
In the previous version, if you bring up task manager, you see, if you look at the process tab, you see, SVC host. We might
right.
see multiple
right.
of them. One of them driving all the resource. And you don't know what is the root cause.
Yeah, they're all hidden in there.
But with the new one, we actually put the service tab. You can actually nail down. Oh, that is the guy doing eating up all my resource.
Yeah, we're actually finally able to walk through the hierarchy to get to here's the bad boy. And
yep,
the other
yep.
way too, you can be looking down at the service level and say, well, what app is this? And it'll help you chase it up.
Yep. So you don't need to use the process explorer to go deep into what actually the service is using it. So everything is incorporate into the task manager. But of course, for more compact and if you want to monitor the issue, you should still using the reliability and performance monitor come with the Windows 2008.
Sure. Yep. Stephen Choi, we are out of time. Just like I told you we'd end up. We get going here and boom, the time flies by.
Thanks a bunch.
It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Really enjoyed talking to you. And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.